Hello, everyone. We are back with this week's First in Tech. I am your host, sports editor Andrew Schnitker.
And I'm your other host, assistant sports editor Alex Zollier.
We are not experimenting with any voice changers this week. Alex got a spot of the technician plague that's been going around, as we're calling it. I'm about the last one standing not to have it. But speaking of plagues, Pac football this week got over the plague on them over the past several seasons. It has been Boston College. Walked up to Chestnut Hill, got a win, wasn't pretty, got it done, 17-14. Alec, you know, like they say sometimes, it's not how, but how many.
Yeah, wasn't the prettiest game I've ever watched for sure, but when you have a team like that that you've struggled against so much, any win's a win, so it's a good one for State to go up to Boston College, because that's not a bad Boston College team this year.
No, for sure. Boston College had won, I believe, three straight, 4 of 5 going into that game. They beat Florida State by, I believe, 32 points. So, and again, that's kind of a demon, a thorn in the side of NC State, if you will. Last season at home, a game NC State did not play well, dropped to Boston College. And in a game like that where you're kind of, you know, not everything's going right for you, you need something. You need your best players to be your best players. And for NC State, really all season and against Boston College, that was Bradley Chubb. I mean, it's another day at the office for him, but we've just got four tackles for loss, 2.5 sacks. He was a force all day long. Bradley Chubb for NC State is now the new sack leader at 26 career sacks, passes NFL first overall pick and NC State great Mario Williams, and I think really has a chance to carve out a special career for himself in pro football.
Yeah, every time I watch Bradley Chubb play, I'm just kind of in awe of what he is able to do on the field. And he comes up with another huge game, 4 tackles for loss, 2.5 sacks, as you said. And he moves into that all-time career sacks leader spot that Mario Williams, you know, held. And there's a lot of similarities between those two. I mean, the big defensive linemen, they know how to rush. They both wear number 9. And I think while Mario Williams had that legacy that he left at State, and NC State fans have always looked at him as one of the best, I think Bradley Chubb is right there with him now in NC State lore as one of the greatest of all times, and he should have a pretty incredible NFL career by the looks of him.
And another guy that really should be mentioned coming out of this game that went up against a good Boston College run defense and really hit a huge game for the Pack, Nyheim Hines, finally healthy after being kind of banged up, his impact kind of limited in the losses to Notre Dame and Clemson. 110 yards and a touchdown on 19 carries. And boy, was that a big touchdown with that 50-yard run in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, that was a huge touchdown that really kind of, you know, got State back on top, and they held that, and that was really needed from Nyheim Hines. And I think when you look at this entire season, when Nyheim Hines has been healthy, he's been really good. And against Notre Dame and against Clemson, you don't have him as much, and I think that really hurts you in those games and maybe costs you those games. But when he's been healthy, he's been incredible for NC State this year, and it was another really good game for the junior running back.
Well, I think Nyheim Hines, I mean, you can point to two games where NC State on the road came out with kind of a sluggish effort against, at least on paper, an inferior opponent, that big plays from Nyheim Hines really were the difference. You've got the game against Pitt where he has the 90-yard punt return touchdown and the, I think, 80-90-yard rushing touchdown in the first half, that without those, NC State is trailing by probably 14-0 at halftime of that game. And then this game, after Boston College cashes in a turnover, which we will talk about in a minute here, for points, Hines comes back with that 50-yard run to give NC State the lead, ends up being the game-winning touchdown. BC doesn't score again. So really, that's two wins this year that you can point to Nyheim Hines saying, if he doesn't make this play, the Wolfpack does not win this football game.
Yeah, Nyheim Hines has been really good, and those two games are big instances where he's really turned the tide and helped NC State win. And when you have a dynamic playmaker like that, someone as fast as he is, he's a big track star as well, they can really turn the game around with just one play, and it's that kind of special talent that Nyheim Hines brings game in, game out.
And another one to talk about coming out of this one in the positive, Kelvin Harmon, maybe a bit of a quiet day for his standards, 5 catches for 68 yards, but I mean, he has another Moss catch to help the Pack move the chains. I mean, I remember we were watching the Notre Dame game and asked, is there anything that Kelvin Harmon can't catch? I've kind of yet to see if there is.
I'm going to go with no, and I think it's becoming a pretty weekly segment on this podcast to just have a little Kelvin Harmon appreciation minute, because what he can catch, what he can get up to and get and bring down for yards and get first downs, it never fails to amaze me, because there's balls that I think he has no chance of even getting close to that he pulls in.
And I really do think that he's made a big impact. Now, on to the negatives, and there are some for this game. The run defense, it's just gone away. The Pack gives up another home run, touchdown run, 236 yards on 54 carries. Going into the Notre Dame game, NC State was 6th in the country in run defense. They get gashed in both those games. When you look at, okay, these are good teams. Justin Jones is banged up, but he's healthy now. And this continues to be a very worrisome issue for this team.
Yeah, it's something that at the beginning of the year was, this could be the best run defense in the country, and now it's, can they stop the run? And it's weird to look at, because, I mean, all the pieces are still there. Bradley Chubb's playing incredible as well, but it's become kind of a thorn in the side of this team. I think later in the year here, NC State's faced some really good offensive lines, some really good running backs, Notre Dame, Clemson, Boston College as well, and that's really hurt the NC State defensive line, and they haven't been super good throughout this recent stretch of games.
Yeah, and the other thing that's... Look, I'm tired of talking about this. Dave Doran's tired of talking about this. NC State fans are tired of talking about this. Even the national media is probably talking about this. Make a kick. Just... I mean, look, I know it's a hard job. I know it's a lot mental, but you've got to have somebody that can make kicks in these games and get you points. State doesn't have that. Kyle Bambard, his first full game back with the starting job, misses 3 of 4 attempts. Pack very lucky that did not cost them a win against Boston College. You've got a 5-star kicker coming in next year, but I mean, this is just something that this team has to get figured out. It hasn't happened this. It happened twice last year. The Pack lost games because of kicking against ECU and Clemson. Hadn't happened this year, but you've just got to find a way to figure that out.
Yeah, it's getting to the point where it's almost doesn't make sense to even attempt field goals, because you had Carson Wise and he wasn't doing very well, and Kyle Bambard steps back in and he was okay against Clemson, but then comes into this Boston College game and can't make a field goal, and it's an issue that just keeps coming up over and over again, and it looks like no one has the answers, and that includes NC State, that includes Dave Doran, that includes the whole special teams unit, and really, if you can't make field goals, that changes the way you have to play, because you can't count on points when you get down in the red zone, and that's something that's not cost NC State to the point of losing yet this year, but it's something that's dangerous, and with 2 games and a bowl game remaining, that's something you don't want to see come back and haunt you, but it very well could.
Yeah, and I was talking with former sports editor and friend of the podcast, Daniel Lacey of Pack Pride, yesterday. He asked Doran about BC's kicking issues, because they had some issues in that game too after the game. Doran did not take the bait on that, instead sounded off on his own kicking game and said that he may go for it on every fourth down the rest of the year. So something to watch there. The other issue that I have from this one, and it's something that's kind of been an issue but hasn't hurt the Pack, it does in this one, is the play calling from Eli Drinkwitz. He calls a couple trick plays that really, I just state when they try to, when they're driving down the field, moving the ball well, and then they get in the red zone and they try to get cute, or they do it somewhere else. I mean, in this game, you got 2 plays, the drive that led to that first missed field goal, where they dial up a flea flicker where Finley ends up getting demolished. And then whatever that play was at the end of the third quarter, with the direct snap to Jalen Samuels, the backward pass to Finley ends up hitting the ground for a fumble. BC cashes that in for a touchdown quickly, takes the lead. Again, very lucky for the Pack that does not end up costing them the game.
Yeah, Eli Drinkwitz seems to really enjoy those little gadget trick plays, and sometimes they work, and we've seen them work this season. Earlier in the year, Jalen Samuels had a long throw that was caught by Ryan Finley, if I'm not mistaken, but those plays, just, you look at them and you never feel good about them as a fan if you're watching your team do that, because so much can go wrong on that and so little can go right, and it comes back to hurt NC State this weekend with it. And it's something that's been happening all year, and you've seen, and it's, oh, why is he making that play call? But now it does hurt you. You lose possession, you lose the lead, and it's something that makes you uncomfortable if you're watching, and that's not something you really want to see. And calling those over and over again is pretty questionable to me.
Yeah, I would have to agree. But the Pack does come away with the win. I think good teams find a way to win, and the Pack did fight through some adversity and get it done again against a team that's been a thorn in its side for a while. Now the Pack moves on to another place that's been a house of horrors in Wake Forest, a solid Wake Forest team with a very good offense this year. It'll be a tough task this weekend, but we're going to have a great guest for you guys today that knows a lot about Wake Forest, a sports writer from the student newspaper Old Golden Black, Kyle Tadich is going to join us via phone, so we will bring him on shortly. And guys, we are here with Kyle Tadich of Old Gold and Black, the Wake Forest student newspaper. How you doing today, Kyle?
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's great to have you on. You know, we here at First in Tech, we try to do our best following the entire ACC, but we kind of live in our NC State bubble. And when you've got a team like, a season like this where we're going up against the Louisvilles and the Clemsons and trying to compete with them, you've got a solid Wake team here that might escape some notice here at NC State. But kind of how has this season gone from Wake, and what have you seen from the Demon Deacons this year?
Yeah, so last year was the first time Wake Forest got back to a bowl game in quite some time. And this year, looking at the schedule, having to play similar opponents as NC State, traveling to South Bend to play Notre Dame, as well as playing the classic ACC Atlantic teams and Louisville and Florida State and Clemson, it was going to be tough for Wake Forest to get back to a bowl game. But after defeating Syracuse last weekend on the road, Wake Forest will be going back to a bowl game, which, to the surprise of perhaps some Wake Forest fans, but to the expectations of others, the season has been an overwhelming success.
Yeah, that's great. Wake Forest kind of flying under the radar, but they are still right there behind Clemson with the other ACC Atlantic teams. But when you look at the scores that Wake Forest has been able to put up, I mean, lots of points coming off of it, a really explosive offense. What has allowed that this year? What's working for that offense?
Yeah, really, that's just the improvements in the offensive line. Since Dave Clawson came to Wake Forest in 2014, he brought with him the philosophy of really just developing guys, giving them an extra year with a red shirt in their freshman year. And now in his fourth season, he's starting to see the results of a deeper and a stronger offensive line. And that's really been the difference for the Wake Forest offense and for quarterback John Walford, who is a four-year starter here at Wake. With that offensive line, you've seen Walford have more time to throw, which has opened up the running game and has really just clicked for Wake Forest, especially in recent weeks.
Now, what about on the defensive side of the ball? I feel like that's definitely something we don't hear a lot about for Wake Forest. What do they look like on that side of the game?
Yeah, so the Wake Forest defense has really, before the last couple weeks, was really what helped Wake Forest win football games. Unfortunately, they've suffered some pretty key injuries on that side of the ball, with injuries to Jesse Bates, and recently with a injury to defensive lineman Duke Ejiofor, who went down with an ankle injury against Syracuse this past weekend. Wake Forest, for a number of weeks this season, has led the country in tackles for loss. They're very strong up front. Their front seven is explosive, yet have been vulnerable to giving up big plays as a defensive unit. If you look at their yards allowed on the ground per game, it does not reflect that statistic of tackles for loss. It's unknown whether defensive end Duke Ejiofor, who is the first team All-ACC candidate, will be available on Saturday against NC State, but if he is, pass rush will certainly be there for Ryan Finley.
So yeah, you mentioned him and you mentioned some of the other big guys, but what are the other key players for Wake Forest on both the offensive and defensive side of the ball? Who are we looking at in this game as the big playmakers?
Absolutely. So on the offensive side of the ball, you have tight end Cam Serigne, who actually just passed UNC's former tight end Eric Ebron to be the highest receiving tight end in ACC history this past week against Syracuse. He had an electric game against Syracuse, coming out with three touchdowns. After kind of being quiet in recent weeks, expect Cam to have a big game again against NC State, even with the NC State defense being quite stout with Chubb, back there. And also look for Matt Colburn, running back who has now had three straight games of 100-plus yards. He rushed for over 200 yards and took it in for two scores against Syracuse this past weekend, and has really found his game and rhythm as of late. On the defensive side of the ball, I will be telling to see if Duke Edgeford will be able to go, but if he's not, Wendell Dunn is another guy on the line there to look out for, as well as linebacker Grant Dawson, who has been playing excellent football for the linebacking unit this year.
So going off of that some more, who are some underrated players for Wake Forest that maybe people aren't talking about, aren't getting any national attention, that have made a difference this year?
Sure. So you might remember, or you might not, wide receiver Greg Dortch went down with a season-ending injury in our win against Louisville 2 weeks ago. He has been since replaced by Tabari Hines, who also plays in the slot. And, I mean, Tabari went over 100 yards last week against Syracuse and really was the first showing of someone stepping up in that slot position. Greg Dortch, of course, had four touchdowns against Louisville just a couple weeks ago. Tabari Hines could be one of those players that continues to find his role as he gets increased numbers of snaps with Greg Dortch going down with injury earlier this year. On the defensive side of the ball, Cameron Glenn is an underrated corner. A lot of the attention goes to Jesse Bates, who actually is also in battling injury, whose status on Saturday is also questionable. So Cam's presence is definitely known and on the defensive side of the ball, and he's an underrated guy that has made big plays in the past that could have a big game on Saturday.
Now, going off of all that and kind of what you know about this NC State team, what are going to be the keys for a Wolfpack team to walk into Winston-Salem and come away with a win on Saturday?
Yeah, so Winston-Salem has not been a favorable place for NC State over the last 20 years. I think there's only been two wins for NC State in Winston-Salem over the last 20 years, and that came with Philip Rivers at quarterback and Kobe Brissett back in 2015. So it is a tough place for NC State for whatever reason to play, even though Wake Forest has not had the best teams per se over the last 20 years. But I think if NC State can do what they do well, obviously Bradley Chubb's cousin went to Wake Forest just a couple years ago, so we know how well the Chubb family can play football. So if Chubb can put pressure on John Walford, and I think am I correct to say that he broke Mario Williams' record just recently?
Yes, in this week's game against Boston College, Bradley Chubb picked up 2.5 sacks, yeah, and is now half a sack ahead of Mario Williams for the school record.
Yeah, so if Chubb can play like he has been playing, that would be key for an NC State win. And Ryan Finley, I mean, he's been one of the better quarterbacks all year in protecting the football. If he can protect the football, and I think he has a real opportunity, especially if Jesse Bates, our corner, is unable to go again, to really light up the Wake Forest secondary through the year. So between Hines on your offensive side and Ryan Finley, I think given the injuries on our defense, it could be an opportunity for the NC State offense to kind of rediscover itself after, I guess, recent weeks have not been as favorable as the beginning of the season in terms of offensive production for you guys. But with a depleted Wake Forest defense in terms of injuries, NC State's offense could have a big day.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that this is an offense geared well for that. So with all of that in mind, what is your final score prediction for this one?
Yeah, so I'm actually going to go with Wake Forest. I went with them last week at Syracuse, saying that it was going to be a shootout, and that it would come down to just a couple plays. I think that's going to be the case again. I think it's going to be the first one to 40. So I'm going to go 41-34 Wake Forest.
High-scoring game is definitely something I could see in this one. I think that is about all we have for you today, Kyle. Thank you so much for coming on our show.
Yeah, thanks for
joining.
Absolutely.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Alec, that was great. Kyle definitely knows his Wake Forest football. Always great when we can have someone on from the opponent to offer some perspective.
Yeah, it's good to get it from the other side and see what they have to say about their team because we just don't know as much.
Well, we heard Kyle's prediction for this one. I would like to hear yours, Alec, and then I will offer mine.
Yeah, this is a tough one. I think it'll definitely be a shootout. Like he said, it's Wake Forest puts up a lot of points, and NC State has had the ability to match people this year. I like State in this one. I think you come off that Boston College win with a little bit of momentum. It was ugly, but you got the win, and you're back to winning after a few rough weeks. So I like NC State in this one. I'm going to say 48-35. I think State pulls away a little bit towards the end.
This is one that I struggled with, too, because just like we've talked about with that, with Winston-Salem being such a house of horrors for the Wolfpack over the past 20 years, but I looked at this stretch and I thought, if there is a game that is going to trip this Wolfpack team up, it is Boston College. I think having gotten through that, gotten over that hump, finding a way to fight through some adversity, get in the win column, get some confidence back, I think NC State's offense against a banged up Wake Forest defense is going to put up a lot of points. Give me NC State 44, Wake Forest 30.
Yeah, it sounds about right. I think you're going to look for high scoring in this one for sure.
Yeah, definitely will not be a quick game time-wise either with as much passing as we're probably going to see, which with us making the trek down there could make for a late night. But I think that's about all we've got for you guys this week. Again, I am your host, sports editor Andrew Schnicker.
I'm your other host, assistant sports editor Alec Sawyer.
And that'll do it for this week. Thanks for listening, everyone.